Good morning. It's Palm Sunday, and I am excited to share with you some new things that God showed me over the last several weeks as I've been reading and studying about Palm Sunday in preparation as we celebrate this Holy Week. Holy Week is known as the week between Palm Sunday up to the crucifixion and then, of course, the resurrection of Jesus. So this is a Holy Week that we are entering into, and I am going to share with you some things God's been showing me over these last several weeks concerning Holy Week. And so I want to start this morning by looking at Matthew 21, and I'm going to start in verse 8. And we've got some longer passages of Scripture than I normally would, even though I generally use a lot of Scripture. Some of them are a little bit longer, and some of them I may just not take time to read that whole passage and just go through them and kind of reference the passage just to help us out a little bit on time. But I want to start in Matthew 21, verse 8, and I'm going to read through verse 11. It says, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowd answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, the human nature of Holy Week. Would you bow your hearts and your heads with me? Father, we come this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me to teach your word accurately. I pray, God, that it would be exactly what you want taught. And Lord, as we hear it and receive it, open our hearts and minds to understand it and apply it to our lives. God, that we might be more pleasing to you, be more like Christ, and be a blessing to those around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, as I was preparing and reading about the events of Palm Sunday, Holy Week, in leading up to this, it was interesting that I had a question just instantaneously pop into my head. And that was, the question was, why did the people react to Jesus the way that they did as he entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and then turn around a week later and react the way that they did on a Good Friday? What was it? What made the same people have these two completely opposite reactions? And almost as quickly as the question popped into my head, the answer also popped into my head. And the answer was very simply this. They were exercising something that we all possess, and that is just human nature. What they did was basic human nature in the way that they responded to these few events. And so as I read through chapters 21 and 22 concerning Palm Sunday and Holy Week, I saw time and time and time again human nature on display. One, in the way that the religious leaders attacked and were bothered by Jesus and his ministry, and the way that they went after him, the way that they tried to manipulate the people, and of course then the people's reaction to it. All of it is just human nature. And really what we need to understand from this is that if we are going to approach the gospel, if we're going to approach God's plan for redeeming the world and the actions of Jesus Christ in doing that, by human nature, we're always going to fail to fully understand what it was that God was trying to accomplish and what Jesus was attempting to carry out. So with that in mind, I want us to go on in chapter 21, and we're going to start at verse 12 and read through verse 17. And it says this, "Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. 'It is written,' he said to them, 'My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.' The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' they asked him. 'Yes,' he replied. Do you hear what the children are saying?' they asked him. 'Yes,' replied Jesus. 'Have you never heard from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?' And he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, where he spent the night." Now, The crowd's reaction to Jesus was, again, completely human nature, typical human nature. The same people, now they cheered him as he entered Jerusalem, they're now also cheering him and excited about what he's doing as he's moved on to the temple. Their reaction has not changed. They are just reacting the way you would expect them to react. And there's several reasons why I want to look at, and this is what I really want to get across. The way they reacted to him was, again, human nature. It wasn't because of some great spiritual insight they had. This was not based on their understanding of him as the divine Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. They were reacting on him because he was doing things that they liked and because of what they believed that it would, how it would benefit them. And that's certainly human nature. We like things that benefit us. That's why they were cheering him, not because of the great spiritual insight of what he was about to do. Because when it came to that, when he began to carry out the spiritual truth of why he was sent to earth, that's when they reject him. And we'll look at that as we go on. So here we see them having a human nature reaction because one of the reasons was they said, what did they say about it? He is the Son of David. Well, that's great for them. That's exciting. David was revered as Israel's greatest king. And they viewed him as a coming earthly king. In fact, he was a king who was the Son of David. If David was the greatest king that Israel had, well then Jesus, hey, he's the Son of David, this is going to be good. He's going to be a good earthly king. Prior to him entering Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, he had just healed two blind men. That's good. Something, it was a problem, people had a physical needs, he healed them. Got to understand, that's why they were cheering him when he entered Jerusalem, because he had just done a miracle. He had helped people in a very real, practical, physical way. And so he had healed these two blind men, so they're cheering him as he moves into Jerusalem. They're saying, who is this? They're saying, he's the Son of David. Oh, David was a great king. Great, that he's going to be great too. We know because of that. We know that also that he's going to be a king. They had a king. Israel had a king. They were under Roman captivity, but they had a Jewish king, King Herod. The problem was King Herod was just simply a puppet of the Roman government. And so that didn't benefit them any. I mean, he was self-serving. He wasn't looking out for the people. He was looking out for himself. So now they're seeing that Jesus and believing that Jesus is going to be a king in the old sense of David, not the kind of king that Herod currently was. So, again, their reaction makes perfect sense from basic human nature. Oh, something is going to benefit us. It's going to be good for us. He's going to improve their lives. This was not any great spiritual insight that they were having. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit just to make my point. I'm going to kind of give you the punchline to all this well in advance just to kind of prove my point here. And so let's jump ahead to the crucifixion. And the people now have completely changed. The exact same people who believed that Jesus was going to do something in a very practical way that is going to benefit them personally, they were having a human reaction to it. Oh, it's the Son of David. He's doing miracles. He's going to set up a kingdom like David did. He's going to get us free from Rome. You know, we are personally going to benefit from this. The same people, 5 days later, are saying, crucify him. Why? Why? Well, again, perfectly understandable from human nature. They believed that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman king, the Roman Empire. They were going to be set free, and all these great things were going to happen. The guy that they thought was going to set them free from Roman rule was, guess what? Now he was imprisoned by Rome. And he was on trial, being held by Rome, put on trial by the Roman Caesar. So here he is, the guy that's going to save us. We see him up there. We see him up there now. What? On trial, imprisoned, beaten, bloodied. How is he going to possibly help us? It's when you think something's great going to happen and somebody fails. It's like forget it. Let's just go home. It's not going to happen. They were frustrated. They were disappointed. It was a human nature reaction. The guy that they celebrated, they saw him heal the blind. They saw him go into the temple. And you got to understand, the people did not love what was going on in the temple. That was the religious leaders taking advantage of them, acting as money changers and selling doves and profiteering off of them. He's coming in there and he's upsetting that. And again, they're going, great, this is great, things are going to change. And now the guy that's going to change everything is up front, on trial, by Rome, beaten and bloodied. And they're going, there's nothing this guy can do for us. It isn't going to be what we thought it was going to be. And so they were hurt, they were frustrated, they were angry because it wasn't. In fact, he wasn't even defending himself against the charges. Again, perfectly natural human reaction. And that's why we see such a change, because there was no spiritual insight. They didn't understand that Jesus needed to do that. They didn't understand that he needed to go on trial, that he needed to be found in the Romans' eyes guilty. They didn't understand that he needed to be crucified, that the crucifixion would benefit them. They thought that this was going to actually not produce anything for them. Again, they were being selfish. What's it going to do for us personally? No spiritual understanding. It was purely human. Now, the next thing I want to take some look at is that the religious leaders also operated in a purely human way. It wasn't just the Romans. The religious leaders also attacked him. And they did so from a very human standpoint. Jesus, we're told, in the temple, had healed a blind man and a lame man. And again, and it overturned all the tables of the money changers and those selling doves. The religious leaders were in there taking advantage of the people. And you got to understand something. The religious leaders had never healed anyone. They never healed anybody. All they had done was exercise their power and take advantage of people. And yet, here's Jesus healing the blind and the lame. And so, the Jewish leaders, the people wanted to be free really from the Jewish leaders as well, because they were just simply taken advantage of by the human leaders, or the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders. They'd never healed anybody, and yet here's Jesus doing that. So I want to look at Matthew 21:15. It says, "But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant." That is a human reaction, because they saw somebody. You got to understand, in Jewish society, they were at the highest level. They were the most revered people. And now here they are, the people singing praises to Jesus. They were indignant, and they understood what it meant that the people viewed him as the Son of David. That meant that they viewed him as having a right to the throne, that he was the greatest king of Israel's son. He was in that lineage, and he was a rightful leader. And they didn't want that. They didn't like that. That is a human reaction. It is human nature to not want anybody to be elevated above us, or certainly if we have a position, to knock us out of that position. They were threatened. Jesus threatened the power of the religious leaders. So they began a systematic attempt to discredit him. And that's what we see in the next chapter and a half, really, is this systematic attempt to discredit Jesus. And again, it's done in a purely human way. We're going to look at this and how they went about using natural arguments and appealing to the people's human nature in order to discredit Jesus. I'm going to read a little lengthy passage here of Scripture, but we'll see how this goes. Starting in Matthew 21:23, it says, "Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the priests, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. 'By what authority are you doing these things?' they asked. 'And who gave you this authority?' Jesus replied, 'I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?' They discussed this among themselves and said, 'If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." So let's stop right there and take a look at this. By what authority, they ask him, are you coming? The religious leaders, what they wanted, that was their position, their power. They wanted to exercise authority. But you have to understand something. They were religious leaders simply sometimes by family bloodline. That's, you know, that's the family they were in. And by simply written rules and studying and those kind of things. There was no real authority that was given. It's interesting. It's like today, I've heard it said in from denominational leadership, that the idea is when you are ordained as a minister, you're not being ordained by man. It is man recognizing God's call on your life to ministry. So we say, oh, man does not ordain you. As an ordained minister, man's not ordaining you. We're simply recognizing your call that God has placed on you. And yet, at the same time, you have to jump through all of man's hoops in order for them to ordain you. Do you get my point here? You see what I'm saying? So, and that's what these guys have jumped through the hoops, but were they really ordained as leaders by God? Jesus was. This, again, it's a natural thing. They were simply following natural rules in order to become, but they had no real authority. It is the authority that came from God because Jesus was ordained to come into this world as his son and to be our Savior, our Redeemer. That was the authority, and they didn't understand that. They had no real authority unless they could convince people in a human sense, not in a spiritual sense, that they should be allowed to exercise their power. Jesus pointed out their error to them by asking about John's baptism. Where did it come from? If they say that it came from heaven, he would say, well, then why didn't you listen to him? Why didn't you believe him? If they say from men, they're afraid of the people because the people believe that John's authority came from heaven. They believe that John was a prophet. They believe that he was ordained and was given authority by God. But of course, the religious leaders didn't want to recognize that of John the Baptist because that would have been seceding their authority to him, and they would have had to submit to what he was telling them, and they don't want to do that. Again, it's human nature. Next, Jesus goes on. Let's go back and look at Matthew 21, starting in verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said to the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what was father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So Jesus next tells them this parable about the two sons and the father who asked them to go and work in the vineyard. One said, "No, I won't go," but then he went, and the other said that he would go, but he didn't. So he says, this is really important what he's understanding. Do you understand what Jesus is doing? Jesus is telling the religious leaders that all these people that you look down your nose at, that you are happy to exercise your authority over, that you are taking advantage of in the temple with your money changing and your selling of the sacrificial doves and others, those people that you look down at, okay, the essential personnel, if I may take a modern day look at this, that you look down at, those are the people that were the son that said no to God, but now they have turned their hearts and are saying yes. And you are the son that said, "I will go," and didn't. And he said, Jesus asked him, which one was the obedient son? Well, it was the one that said, no, I won't go, but did. He said, well, but that's not the son that you are. You're the disobedient son who says, yes, yes, yes. You read all the rules. You look at all the man's created laws, and you say yes, but you don't actually live them. You don't put them into practice. He said, it is the tax collectors and the prostitutes that are entering the kingdom ahead of you, because you're the son that said, yes, I'm going to, you say yes to, I should do all the right things, but you don't do them. This is really important, folks. We need to understand, I am, and if you are really a repentant person who understands that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I am and you are, we are the tax collectors and we are the prostitutes. Do you understand that? That's who we are. That's not a bad thing, because those people realize the error of their way, and we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, amen? And we have learned the error of our way and said yes, where before I was saying no, God, to you, now I've learned and I'm saying yes to you. That's a not a human reaction. The Jewish leaders that were supposed to be so revered and so spiritual were having a human nature reaction, where the tax collectors and the prostitutes were having a spiritual reaction, which of course is exactly what God wants. As we go on from there, the next thing Jesus tells them, the parable of the farmer who planted a vineyard. Again, remember, this is their systematic attempt to discredit Jesus. He tells them the parable of the farmer who planted a vineyard and rented it out to some tenants. I'm not going to take time again, to, you know, just to read this, all this. I don't want to get too long here. It's one thing when I'm long-winded in person. It's another thing when it's on video. The owner sent some of the servants, and finally is to his son, to these tenants, to collect what was his, because it was his vineyard. And it says that they beat one servant, they killed another one, and they also killed the son. So this is what happened. The owner sends his servant and his son to the tenants, and they beat and kill them. So Jesus asked the religious leaders what the owner would do to the tenants. It says that they should have a wretched end. They answered they should have a wretched end. They're going to have a wretched end. The owner's going to come. The tenants are going to have a wretched end. And the owner's going to end up renting it to others. Others who will give their share at harvest time. Again, Jesus is pointing out, he's describing to the religious leaders that you are the tenants who wouldn't listen to the owner's servant, John the Baptist, and you wouldn't listen to his son, me, Jesus. You wouldn't listen to him. He's going to take the kingdom away from you. He's going to take the vineyard away from the tenants, and he's going to give them to somebody else. He's going to give it to who? He's going to give it to those who will listen. He's going to give it to those who will honor the owner and give him his share at harvest time. Again, Jesus is describing these religious leaders. Again, they had a human reaction. Rather than understanding the spiritual nature of what they were involved in, they had a human reaction. And so we see it time and time again throughout this. And I'm only halfway through my message here today, but we're gonna stop here and wrap it up and continue on next week. We cannot have human reactions. We cannot operate in basic human understanding, human emotions, human perceptions, human reactions. We cannot operate by human nature and be pleasing to God and to enter into the kingdom of God. We look at those people that celebrated Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and think, look how much they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus for what he could do for them. It was human nature. There was no spiritual insight. There was no spiritual understanding that they had need of a Savior, that he was there to redeem them from their sins. He was there to heal them and forgive them of being tax collectors and prostitutes, not to heal them simply physically and become their king so that they could have a better life in their local community. That's what they were celebrating. That's what they were excited about. I pray and I believe that God wants to bless us. I believe that God wants to give us life and that life abundantly here on earth. But it's more important that he gives us eternal life and abundance of life in eternity. That's where our focus needs to be. That's where our celebration needs to be. Holy Week, we call it Holy Week. I could call it Human Nature Week. This week between Palm Sunday and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus is full of human nature on display. Us just being human beings, acting and reacting without any thought, without any spiritual insight or understanding, but simply doing what comes naturally at our most base human level. That is not what Jesus came into the world to do. He came into the world to elevate us above that by living, by redeeming us from that human base level, then living in us and through us by his Spirit. This is a great time of year. This is a great time of celebration, but only if we understand it from the spiritual aspect and not the human nature aspect. Let's make this a time where we really elevate ourselves into the spiritual realm of what it was that Jesus came to do us. We are the tax collectors and the prostitutes, but we're not that anymore because Jesus forgave us. He made us new creations in Christ, and that's what we celebrate.